This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, hello everybody and welcome to the show, and we'll be here for the next hour talking University of Miami football. A lot of things to talk about during spring football, seven practices in. We've had pro day on Monday, so a lot of things to talk about. Don Bailey Jr. joins us, as well as Zach Etheridge, who will be with us, secondary coach Zach Etheridge in charge of the passing game. So Zach will be with us as well on the show. Monday was pro day, Don Bailey Jr., and we'll just start right there. Pro day, and really, it was a big day for a lot of guys, but the headline stealer, the headline maker, was Cam Ward. He put on a terrific show.
You know, Joe, I was there for it, and I would tell you, it was flawless. The show that he put on with his arm, there was just, he proved he can make every single throw from every level. And the smartest thing I think they did in the whole deal was they had him going under center about one out of every four or five snaps. So they showed that he can be productive, you know, even though he was mostly a shotgun quarterback in his career. But he was able to do that, and he was throwing to his guys, which I think was important as well. But pinpoint accuracy, an understanding of all the routes, the time, and it was rapid fire. I mean, they didn't give him time, you know, to reload and correct. I mean, they poured it on him, and he solidified himself. Whatever round or whatever pick or whatever spot you were projecting him in, is if you're an NFL team, he absolutely either is going to be there or be better than what you thought.
His throws were, I mean, he was ready for it. He was ready for this show. He was ready for the scouts. He didn't disappoint anybody. It didn't matter what throw he made, whether he was throwing a deep out route, throwing one across the middle, or as we've seen or saw during the course of the year, where he peels out to his left and then throws it down the field, again, on the money to Restrepo and any other receiver. His accuracy and the speed within which he threw were impressive. He was just very dynamic.
You know, Joe, he's as complete a quarterback that I've seen in many, many years. And I don't mean complete just on the field. I mean complete off the field. He had a total understanding of the offense that he ran this year. This is a guy that has had to learn and digest three offenses in college, from Incarnate Word to Washington State, and then now, of course, you know, at the University of Miami, where he led the number one offense in the country. So he's been able to do it. He's been able to digest it. He's been able to be productive at every single level, and he's ready for it. You can tell that he spends his time and focus on his arm and his conditioning and his understanding of defenses. I think that's something that a lot of people overlook, is that he has a keen ability to decipher a defense, and that's going to pay off dividends in the National Football League.
You know, I think his mobility also helps him. He's not the most mobile guy. He's not going to run like Lamar Jackson, but in the NFL, while you see more of that, I think you have to run in moderation. We would see that with Tua. So he knows when to escape the pocket. He knows how to evade the big hit so that he stays healthy.
Well, it forces a defense, because you're right. He does all of those things, and it also forces a defense to be concerned with that. Whether you've got to spy him at the linebacker spot, or you can't overload a side because he's smart enough and understands enough to where he'll pull it and run to the weak side of the defense. And all those things fall into place in what makes a great quarterback. But he certainly has enough athletic ability and enough foot speed to create issues. And I think the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, he really started working in the pocket a lot more than he did the first part of the year. And we all remember it. I mean, he would run around and make things happen and threw a couple picks while he was doing that. But the last month, he took a different approach to the game, and he started taking the throw that was open instead of having to create something. He just let it materialize and threw the completion. And that's really what the NFL game is. The NFL game is you're going to study the defenses. You're going to understand the timeline that you got to get rid of the football, but you got to go open. Throw open first immediately and live for the next play.
Okay, what else did we see in a pro day? A lot of eyes were on Restrepo because people are going to question his speed. You cannot question his heart. Damian Martinez flashed because I think up close people saw his strength and his power. Probably the same with Simeon Barrow, although I think there's going to be a lot of examination of Simeon's production during the year. But the two guys I think that people are really zeroing in on were Restrepo and Damian Martinez.
Yeah, I think Martinez, let's go there. You know, the fact that he was able to, especially at the end of the season, push that 1,000-yard number, that attracts attention from everybody. I think he showed more speed than people probably thought that he had. He certainly proved that he was elusive in the open field. He proved also that he can catch the football. And unfortunately for Damian, and really everybody at that position, you know, that position is almost not a position of need anymore. Everybody thinks they can get a back in the second, third, fourth, fifth round where they're not going to take a guy first round, first pick. And I look at him, but I see a complete back. Now, he definitely does everything you want him to do without the football. And that's rare for guys that are very successful. You know, he plays dirty football in the sense that he'll block, he can do pass protection, he'll do whatever he has to do to make the offense successful, but he also can break long runs.
Other guys, we'll just kind of go over this quickly. Maui Noah, we love Jalen Rivers. Maui Noah and Rivers, they're going to get a chance just because, if anything, they're high-character people. Jacoby George probably will get an opportunity because of his production. I think the toughest ones for the scouts might be Barrow and Barron. And I say that because, you know, they play the defensive line positions in the NFL. Those are grueling spots. But truth be told, I think if you looked at their production at the end of the year, the scouts are going to ask the question, what happened? Because their production tailed off at the end of the year.
Well, the scouts are going to ask it because I ask it.
Yeah.
I wanted to know the same thing. I mean, both of those guys were off to a fast start. And basically, towards the end of the season just didn't maintain the production level that they started with. Now, some of that has to do with the defense. Some of it has to do with the offense. But if you're going to be a significant player in the National Football League, you know, you've got to play 16 football games, 17 football games. And you've got to make sure that you're available in all of them and productive in all of them. So I'm with you on that. You know, I think Maui Noah, the thing that caught me off guard is people would say constantly about Maui Noah, well, you know, he's having an off year. He's not this. He's not. Yeah, but did you look at the numbers? He actually was more productive this year than he was last year as far as tackles go and tackles for loss and takeaways. Now, was the defense playing at the same level it was the year before? No, it wasn't. But Maui Noah had a great vertical jump. His strength numbers were good. He ran. He's got good size, and you know he's never going to hurt you. So I think he's a guy that solidified himself as a player that deserves an opportunity in the National Football League. And then Jalen, you know, what round does he go? Does he go third, fourth, fifth round? Whatever you're getting is you're getting a guy that can play all five positions, that's not going to have a problem with anything you ask him to do on and off the field. He's going to be one of your leaders. And he's an NFL quality guy. I saw him last week, and he's down about 20 pounds. He was up in the pushing the close to 340, and now he's in the 320s, and he looks lean, and he's moving better. And he performed in those drills yesterday extremely well. And he's going to have an opportunity to play a lot of football in the National Football League because of his versatility.
By the way, the sidebar note, Simeon Barrow had two tackles in Miami's last four games, and the two tackles were in the Iowa State game.
So, I mean, he was, I just remember him basically being out of the picture for most of the Georgia Tech game. Yeah. I mean, just physically out of the picture. And I'm not saying that that's an easy position to play because it's not, but I think you're winning at that spot if you're breaking even. And what's that mean? If you're able to hold your point and you're able to force the offense to work towards you as a double team and make things happen that way, or if you're good enough to where they run away from you, that's a big payoff. But it's going to be, you know, the NFL draft, Joe, is, I've said this for years, and I haven't seen anything. When you go to pro day, those pros are there, and yes, they're logging all the information, and they're putting that data against the historical numbers and who had this and who had that, but they're also looking to see what you can't do. This guy can't do this. They talk more about the can'ts than the cans. And, you know, coming out of high school, it's all about, he can do this, he can do this. They don't ever talk about what you can't do because they think they can teach you that. The National Football League, they hyper-focus on the things that you struggle with. And, you know, you go back to Xavier Restrepo. There's no question about his productivity. Gave us multiple years of proof, and really he'd have had another year in there if he didn't hurt his ankle. I guess it was against Texas A&M or before Texas A&M 3 years ago. He was on his way to being having a very successful season. But, you know, he's going to leave Miami as the leading receiver in the history of the program, which is a big to-do. But they're going to look at his number, and, you know, he averaged in the 4.8s in the 40-yard dash. That's not spectacular by any means. And is it going to affect them? I think it'll affect them with some teams. But I also think there's going to be teams that take their time and evaluate how he runs his routes and evaluate that he's played the game here at a high level and had a lot of success. So who knows, you know, how that affects him. But I do know this, the fact that he caught a lot of footballs for thousands and thousands of yards is something that productivity-wise, you cannot overlook.
I always say one thing about wide receivers. You know what that is? Catch the ball. You catch the ball, just catch the ball. That's your job. Okay, when we come back on the show, we're going to move our attention to University of Miami spring football. One of the new coaches that is on the staff is defensive backs coach, defensive pass game coordinator Zach Etheridge. So Zach Etheridge will join us next on the show as we continue right after this. All right, well, spring has sprung. You know what spring means? Spring means it's a new start, a new beginning. So if you're looking for a new automobile, may I suggest this spring, Williamson Cadillac. If you are tired of being hassled when it comes to customer service, if you are tired of fighting with somebody when it comes to customer service, trust me, when you go to Williamson Cadillac, you will have no problems. Customer service is their number one priority. That's why Ed Williamson has been in business for over 50 years, because at Williamson Cadillac, customers are treated like family. If you want world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac, then the place to go is Williamson Cadillac. You'll see Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol, perhaps general manager Jeff Rogers, ask for Jermaine, or if you really need something done, ooh, ask for Reggie. Williamson Cadillac, and they've got it all. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and the new all-electric Lyriq. Every single day, new vehicles are arriving at Williamson Cadillac. If you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and enjoy yourself and have great customer service, there's no other place to go than Williamson Cadillac, and it's easy to find. Conveniently located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Go online, check out all the inventory at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, where customer service is number one. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, happy to be joined now by University of Miami defensive backs coach Zach Etheridge, defensive pass game coordinator, defensive backs coach Zach Etheridge joining the staff. Coach Etheridge, thanks for taking the time. Welcome to Miami. First, let's start there. Welcome to Miami. Why was this the right spot for you?
First and foremost, thank you guys for having me. I'm really excited to be a part of, you know, Miami University and the tradition that led me to this. But the biggest thing that led me to this opportunity was an opportunity to compete at the highest level is one, and it's multiple things. But Coach Cristobal and his vision and the coach set from a foundation standpoint that I've seen from afar. But I'm also excited to work with, you know, Coach Heatherman, who's here as our defensive coordinator, and the things we talked about in the interview process. But more importantly, you get a chance to go recruit the top talent and also be able to go play against the best each day. And you get to have a chance to coach the best DBs in the country from my point of view. And that's why I chose this place, because it's special to me.
You know, you mentioned the defensive backs. That's what you'll be overseeing. And without diving into all the personnel, because that's too early, what are some of the things, though, that you want to pass on to them, some of the things that you want to coach them to become one of the best secondaries in the country?
Well, first and foremost is what I want to pass to them is the mindset, the growth, you know, being open-minded. But it starts with them. I just wanted to be able to learn from a football IQ standpoint, pride themselves on being a great student of the game. As we go through it, I pride myself as being a great teacher of the game. So I want to be a great student, you know, soak up all the knowledge and information that we can give them, but so they can go out there and compete, but give themselves a chance to compete at a high level. And then the next thing is just, you know, being accountable. You know what I mean? Being a guy that we can trust in critical situations, you know, in the game, and being able to go win their one-on-one. So the biggest thing is being on the same page and obviously going out there and playing at a high level that the Hurricanes fan can be proud of.
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned being a student of the game, and that is kind of my question about today with so many things going on for a college football player. Do you find that they are still students of the game, or is that something that you have to sort of push them toward?
Well, you know, they're all different. You know what I mean? It's willing to have the relationship with each and every kid in the room to try to figure out what's the most important thing to them, you know, and football is what we do, is not who we are, but we got to fall in love with the process of what we do, because that takes us to a place that we want to go. And in playing football, you got to be a student of the game to learn, but each kid different, you know, as far as they learning, but they have to love the game of football in order to play, you know what I mean? Because they're held at a higher standard, and the standard is the standard of what I bring every day in the room. But you see a lot of different guys. I mean, right now, guys are all over the place from, you know, they learn different. They've been around different coaches' styles, different things like that. But it's like how we do things and what we do is the biggest thing. So that's what we're trying to drive into them every day, is just like find something that you love and part of football and why you chose the game. And then let's go attack that so we can learn the process every day. But it's a learning every day for these guys, to learn the football and the playbook and everything of what we're trying to do.
Coach Zach Etheridge is our guest here with us. Interesting new defensive coordinator, Coach Heatherman, coming in from Minnesota. Really good numbers from a year ago at Minnesota. When did you know, or how do you know, when you guys share the same vision for how the secondary should look?
Well, that was, you know, I tilt my hat off to Coach Heatherman because he was very thorough in the interview process, you know, on what he's looking for. And when I interviewed with him and things I've done, I've been around a lot of great defensive coordinators and learned a lot of football, but it's also things that I've done. And then how do we see it, or how we coach it? Or it also, to him, it was like, okay, I've done it this way. Is there any other way that you have done it that can help us improve? Throughout the interview process, which was very intriguing to me, because we was very open and aligned on being on the same page and sharing ideas. And we're in the room now and trying to figure out what's the best way to give our kids a chance to be successful on the field. You know what I mean? Because it's really their defense. It's just us trying to lead them and guide them on how we teach them. But it was really eye-opening, and why he's been successful, because, you know, he wants great people around him that share his ideas and want to be involved and make sure that the game plan is on point to give ourselves a chance to win every Saturday.
I want to ask you about your goals to spring football in a moment, but looking at your background, Houston, the Big 12, Auburn, the Southeastern Conference, come to Miami as defensive pass game coordinator. As you look at college football today through the eyes of a defensive backs coach and looking at passing games, what is the hardest part in college football, the hardest part in defending the pass game in college football? What are you seeing now that you look at it and go, man, that's pretty clever by the other guys? What do you see in college football in terms of the passing game that is the most difficult to defend?
Well, I think right now what's making the game a little bit challenging now, everybody has a chance in the conference to have a really good quarterback. Yeah. The quarterback drives it. The offensive line does a great job protecting. But from a pass game standpoint, it's really what's the information in the formation, what's the tendencies that guys are showing us pre-snap that we can get a tip on. But, you know, a lot of teams, they want to attack the field vertical, and our job is to keep the ball in front of us on how we try to go study. That's the biggest thing, is what are we studying to keep the ball in front of us so we don't let the ball go ahead. And then, you know, what's their plan of attack in the coverage that we're calling? You know, that's the biggest thing that we're trying to identify early on, so we'll eliminate those explosive plays. And then everything else, you know, comes and goes and win your one-on-ones. But teams are doing a lot of different things, shifting motion, trading to change the pitcher to confuse your kids. But at the end of the day, when the ball is snapped, football has to be played. And as long as we understand all alignment, all assignment, all key progression, and what our eye is supposed to be, then everything else will take care of itself.
Last thing for you, spring football getting underway. What are your goals over the next month or so here in spring football in terms of your guys in the secondary?
Well, the goal is, you know, to stack days and try to go out there and change our mentality and have a growth mindset, like I said earlier, but also setting a standard on what we want to be. You know, the standard is the standard on who we are. We want to go out there and be competitive every day. But also seeing guys stack days and come in every day with a winning mindset to want to get better, to want to be coached, and to want to find a way to be a student of the game. And I think they got to go out. I would just really want to see the guys compete. And that'll give us a chance to see where we're going to go in this offseason and also lead us into the season. But the goal is to identify the guys that's going to compete, identify guys that understand the standard on how it should be done and what it should look like. And then ultimately we'll get to where we want to go when we got the best five DBs on the field, and that can give us a chance to win. But just excited about watching the guys compete and learn and continue to grow and be a student of the game.
Yeah, you're going to be on the Green Tree practice field. A lot of history and tradition there.
Absolutely. That I still pinch myself and wake myself up to figure out, like, you know, I was telling my wife, I was like, you know, 10 years ago or even 20 years ago, I would have never thought one day I'd be coaching defensive backs at the U with the tradition, the guys that done laid the foundation before. So I take pride in that, and I make sure I pour in that to the guys that take pride in. When you step on that practice field, the mentality on how we play defensive back play at the University of Miami, and make sure that the guys that played this thing before us be proud of how we play on the field.
Well, welcome to the family. We look forward to watching you and watch the way you work. And thank you for joining us here on the show. We greatly appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, happy to welcome you back on the show. Hope you enjoyed our interview with Zach Etheridge, University of Miami defensive backs and pass game coordinator. And as he mentioned, atop of his list, Don, you take a look at the Miami deep secondary. And the thing that plagued Miami all season a year ago was giving up the big play. The Hurricanes gave up the second most plays of 10 or more yards last season. They were among the worst in the nation at surrendering plays of 20, 30, 30, 40, 50, and 60 or more yards. So tough to play great defense when you're giving up the big play like that.
Well, it sure is, Joe, and it's for a lot of different reasons. I can tell you the new defensive coordinator is making sure, first and foremost, that there are no broken assignments. There has been more attention to detail in these first parts of spring practice that I've seen in quite a long time, and he's making sure that every single level understands what they're supposed to do and when to do it. But also, Coach Heatherman is doing a great job of coaching keys, making sure that his defense is aware of the tip-offs and making sure that they understand assignment football, because, you know, everybody thinks it's just an assignment on offense. Well, that's not the case at all. Defense is as much as productive because of assignment football as they are on the offensive side. So they're really focusing in on that. They're doing a great job on the defensive side of the ball on getting population to the football by taking proper angles and understanding the signals that the offense gives you and how to utilize your tips on defense.
Coach Cristobal talked a lot last week about Zachariah Poyser, who is now in the deep secondary along with Zaquan Patterson, two guys that will be back there. Poyser had 75 tackles, three interceptions, had 11 passes defended, recovered two fumbles in 13 games at Jacksonville State. He was a freshman All-American. Coach Cristobal summed it up by saying, "We got a real one in Poyser." How much do you think Poyser can help the deep secondary?
Well, I think he'll help a lot. I like the fact that he was a freshman All-American. So we're at Jacksonville State. He capitalized on that opportunity and proved that he was the best in the entire conference and the best in the country at that level. And, you know, he has the speed. A lot of times guys go to smaller schools because they're lacking the size or they're lacking the speed. And he's not lacking either. So he just was one of those prospects that was gladly, for Miami's sake, overlooked. And Miami did a great job of finding him. And he is smart enough to realize the opportunity that's here. And again, You know, the back end, you talked about the amount of points that Miami gave up and big plays that they gave up. That's, he's going to have a big part of shutting that down.
The secondary as a group, last week we heard from Will Harris, today Zach Etheridge. But really, that position group has gone through a complete overhaul. Damari Brown is back. O.J. Frederick is back. Jadeus Richard was playing pretty well last season. Suffered that knee injury against Duke. Zaquan Patterson's back. Markeith Williams is back. But then the addition of Poyser. Then you've got transfers in. Brantley, Emmanuel Carnley, Xavier Lucas, Ethan O'Connor. So a bunch of new guys coming into the secondary. That should help. That position group be a lot better.
Well, the strength will come in numbers from that group, and you know it's good that the spring football is here and that you're able to analyze and critique all of these guys and start figuring out once spring is over which guy fits in the best spot, because they're rotating those numbers around, trying to make sure they give everybody a look. And then they're going to go back and say, this is the best spot for this one, this one, this one, and this one. They'll get their two deep squared away. And that should be really what happens for sure once you start training camp in the summer.
Last year, late in the season, we had a pregame interview. Actually, it was Josh on the sidelines with Markell Bell. And we were all floored by his personality. And his story to get to the University of Miami. It's a really tremendous story of perseverance on his part, coaching by Coach Mirabal and the relationship those guys have. Bell this spring, now he's going to be the guy, and he is enormous at left tackle. Where do you think he needs to improve, and where is he improving?
You know, I think the blessing was that he was able to get in games last year. He got over 500 reps, and that proved to him what needs, that the coaching he was getting, that he better listen to, because guys that are that size, you can almost be too big, you know, you can almost be too long, and he could fall into that category. But he takes coaching, Joe, so well, and he's a high IQ guy, and he's bending, and the thing is, only be 6'9" when you have to. For him, it's more about making sure you're bending and playing the game at 6'5" or 6'6" or 6'3". You don't want to be overextended, and you don't want to be out of position, but he is more athletic than you would imagine by looking at his numbers. And the fact that he, you know, was a junior college guy, most of the time those guys come in a little farther behind than you would expect, but he didn't. He had very good coaching in junior college in Mississippi, and he has adapted better than I thought. And he's dedicated himself to the weight room. You see that he's changed his body. You see that he has put himself in a position to be starting left tackle for the University of Miami. And he started last year, and I think that's the blessing in disguise, because when he goes out against Notre Dame, he's not going to be intimidated, or nothing's going to be the first time for him. And I think that's important when you open the schedule with an opponent like Miami's going to do in game one.
Well, I remember last year we had two games. Virginia Tech, they had APR as a pass rusher, and Louisville had Gelati as a pass rusher. And I remember saying to you, those two guys were smaller and quicker, and I thought the challenge for Bell in those games was, I said to you, his elevator's got to come down. Sometimes it takes the elevator a little while to get downstairs.
That's right. And yeah, it's good when you can get that bend, and he's doing it. You know, he takes coaching well, and he understands that he's got the best tutor in the business in Alex Mirabal, but he's listening, he's bending his knees. And you know, the other thing is, he's very good in the run game. Everybody talks about the pass game. Well, your left tackle, he's the blind side of the quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but this guy's got to bend down in the run game too, and he's doing an excellent job with that. And I'd be shocked if he's, you know, not a draftable guy by the time the end of next season comes around.
Coach Cristobal spent about 10 minutes talking about Maui Noah on the right side last week. We had about 2.5 minutes left in the show, but Maui Noah has played in every game since arriving on campus. I would expect him to have an unbelievable season coming up.
Joe, he is about as good as I've ever seen. And, you know, we've had some pretty good players at the University of Miami. And what do you, you know, how you compare him to Bryant McKinney? They're not the same body types. They're not the same era, but they're certainly the same type of productivity. Maui Noah is the quiet assassin, just a very humble young man that is bigger than advertised, if you can believe it. I mean, you don't realize how strong he is until you watch him on a football field and you watch the tape when he's in pass rush. He never gets pushed back. He's rarely out of position. And you have to understand, he came out of high school and day one, he was starting at right tackle for the University of Miami. And that is a hard task. And he's done it. And he will end up, I'd like to see him get All-American. That way he'd been a freshman All-American, be an All-American this year, and be a two-time All-American, because he is as good a football player that has been on that offensive line that there has been in Miami's history.
Happy belated birthday. Don Bailey's birthday was Monday. Hope you had a great day.
I had a perfect day, thanks to Priscilla Bailey. She made sure that everything turned out good.
Okay, we're back on the show next Tuesday. So next week, April the 1st, Tuesday, April the 1st at 6 o'clock, April Fool's Day. So no jokes. We're back next Tuesday on April the Fool's. We'll talk more Hurricane football. We'll have a couple more practices. So we'll continue breaking down spring football. For Don Bailey Jr. and our producer, Trevor Harris, I'm Joe Zagacki. Thanks for joining us, and have a most pleasant evening.